This morning, I want to share with you from the Bible an example of strong commitment. If you have your Bibles, go to the book of Ruth, chapter 1. An example of strong commitment. Now, I do believe as a Christian, obviously, salvation is first and foremost. You have to be saved. But after you're saved, I do believe it's important to have a commitment, to make a commitment to God. Because a commitment, a desire to follow God, a dedication in our heart, that affects our relationship with God. Those that are committed, I believe, walk with God. And they honor God because they want to. They choose to. Look at the book of Ruth, chapter 1 this morning. And I want to begin reading in verse 8. Our text is verse 16, but I want to read verse 8 so we see a context of what's taking place. It says here, "And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, Surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, Turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that you may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God." Lord, I thank you for this passage which we just read. I thank you for Ruth's excellent testimony, for her dedication, her commitment to you. And I pray this morning as we consider her testimony that you will teach us, encourage us, challenge us, convict us, whatever the case may be. Holy Spirit, I pray that you work in our hearts here this morning. And we do ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to give you five thoughts here that I find on what I would call a strong commitment, a strong dedication, a strong desire to serve the Lord. To begin with, I want to talk about Ruth's persistence, her persistence. We read there in verse 16, it says, Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee or return from following after thee, or for whither thou goest, I will go. Notice what we find here. Now, the whole passage tells us that Naomi, her husband had passed away, her two sons had passed away, they had moved to Moab. And now Naomi is planning to return to her land, to her people. And she tells her two daughter-in-laws to stay here. Don't come with me. There's nothing there for you. Go ahead and stay in Moab. And the Bible tells us after several times of, you know, back and forth that Orpah agreed and she determined to stay. But Ruth would not. And so we find Naomi again tells her, stay here. There's nothing for you. And notice what we find with Ruth. First, the advice from Naomi. I believe that she listened to this advice. I believe she considered it. But I don't believe it was necessarily bad advice because I don't think Naomi knew Ruth's heart. I don't think she knew how God had changed her life and how she wanted to live unto the Lord. You know, this morning, I don't know your heart, okay? We can make some, I guess you say, decisions based upon conduct or what people say and do, but we don't know anybody's heart. We don't know the work that God is doing in the heart. And that's the same with Naomi. She made this advice, but she didn't know what was happening in Ruth's heart. And so it may have been sound advice or good advice from Naomi, but as we'll see, it was advice that Ruth not only heard, but that she basically said no. And that's what I want you to notice her answer. You know, she said, entreat me not. She's basically saying, okay, don't tell me this anymore. And now, I want to point out, Ruth was not rude to Naomi. She was not disrespectful. In an adamant, I guess you say, in stern way, she just said, no, don't say this to me anymore. Don't tell me this, because I'm going with you. You see, her mind had already been made up. Ruth was certain that she was going. She was going to follow Naomi wherever Naomi went. As we'll see in a minute, she was going to follow because her life had been changed by God. Now, here's the thought I have for you on this. Commitment requires us to say no sometimes. You know, the world often wants you to say yes. Yes to this or yes to that. Temptation, yes. You know, the temptation comes and the world wants you to say yes. The world wants you to agree with sin or worldly ways or wickedness. But you know, there comes a point where we might have to say no. And we're not disrespectful in saying no or rude in saying no. It's just not the way that we're going to go. It's not what we're going to do. It's not how we're going to live. It's just a no. Someone put it this way, not necessarily on this situation, but in general. Someone put it this way, that with maturity comes the ability to say no. As we mature in the Lord, we'll learn to say no. You know, young Christians sometimes get tempted and they struggle with sin because they have a difficult time saying no. But as we grow in the Lord and as we walk with the Lord, our desire should be to get to the point where we recognize right and wrong. Okay, we understand that something is not right. We understand something is wrong before the Lord. And we recognize it, and then we have the determination to say no. Not because the pastor's there, or what would the pastor think? Not because the church, what would people think? But because you love the Lord and you want to walk with God. That's spiritual maturity. We get to the point where we want to please God, honor God, glorify God. And if something should ever tempt us that would dishonor God or displease God, then we just say, no, I can't do it, or I will not do it. Now, in this case, this wasn't necessarily sin, but Ruth got to the point where she said, no, I am not going to remain. I am going to go with you, Naomi, to your land and to your people. So I guess you could say this was persistence. She persisted in her answer. You know, it's easy to say yes, but we must learn to say no. Number two, notice the path. It says here in Ruth chapter 1, verse 16, and Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or return from following after thee. So she said, please don't talk about this anymore. I'm going. And number two, notice she said, for whither thou goest, I will go. This is the path that she would choose to go down. Notice the direction. Ruth said, Naomi, wherever you go, I'm going. Now, from all indications, from everything I've read in the book of Ruth and everything surrounding this book as far as history, nothing indicates that Ruth had ever taken this trip herself. She was from Moab. She never lived in Jerusalem. She never lived in Israel. She lived in Moab. That's where she was from. You see, it indicates that she was a resident of that area. She was born and raised. She grew up there. You know, times were a little bit different. There were no airplanes, no trains. You know, travel was a lot slower. People didn't go great distances when they took vacations. And so nothing indicates that Ruth had ever made this trip. She didn't know what lied ahead. Yet we find that her direction was to go the direction of Naomi. Here's something I think that we can learn from. Ruth was content with being a follower and not a leader. Okay? There are times we all have to be followers. Not everyone has to be a leader at all times. There are times we have to follow. And I think, obviously, most importantly, we have to follow God at all times. We have to follow Christ, our Lord and Savior. You know, I think we like to think we're strong and independent. And there's nothing wrong with being strong and independent. But without good leadership, I think we can get ourselves into some trouble. Destruction. You know, you follow a poor leader, you can run right into trouble. We need good leadership. Turn with me, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 3. Let me just point out what the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3. Some of you may have this memorized. It's a good passage to memorize. I've seen this verse or these two verses on plaques, on pictures, all over the place. It's a good passage here, and it's something I think is good for us to remember. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I believe Ruth may not have said these verses or expressed them in this way, but her action, that's what she was doing. Okay, she was going by faith. Her direction was taking her somewhere she had never been, but because of her commitment, she was willing to go. You know, the Lord may lead you in a direction that you say, you know, I've never been that way. I just never have. But if God leads you, then go. Missionaries live like this sometimes every day. They go different directions as God leads. You know, sometimes God may allow something to come into your life that will take you a direction that you didn't plan on going. Maybe something at work, things change, something takes place. And all of a sudden you find yourself going a different direction in life than perhaps you planned on going. Well, you go with God and go by faith. You just go the way God would want you to go. And that's what we find here with Ruth. She was determined to go the way that God wanted her to go. And that's the second thought here. We find her direction, but let me give you a few thoughts on her determination. Ruth did not know the path. See, I'm the kind, I don't know about anybody here, but usually when I go on vacation or if I take a trip and I'm driving, I plan out my trip if I can. At least I know which cities I'm going to, which direction I'm going, where I'm going to stay if I can. I like to plan things out. Now, sometimes you get curveballs, you know, like delays in traffic or road work and you have to go a detour. But, you know, I like to know the direction I'm going. Now, Ruth knew where she was going, but she didn't know the path. She didn't know if it would be difficult or if it would be easy. But she was determined to go. And I think that's where we find commitment. I think when it comes to walking with God, we just have to determine we're going to walk with Him, whether we come across a rough path or we have smooth sailing. We determine we're going to go with God, the direction He wants us to go, and we're going to remain faithful to the Lord. David Livingstone was a missionary in Africa for many years. He not only was a missionary, but he also explored the continent. He was able to, not only in his journal, but many of his other writings, find places that many were unknown to many people. He made this comment once after years of ministry in Africa. He said this, as far as a comment about his work. He said, without Christ, he said, not one step ahead. With Christ, anywhere. I thought that's good. That's how I think a motto we can live by. Without Christ, we should not want to go anywhere without Christ. In other words, if He's not directing, if He's not leading, let's stay put. But if He leads us somewhere, we're willing to go anywhere with Christ. We're willing to follow Him to the ends of the world if that's His choice. Because we know He's with us and He'll guide and direct. I believe Ruth got to that point. She was ready to go. She was willing to go the direction that God had for her life. So commitment, I think, requires what we would call steadfastness. You must continue along the path regardless of the situation. And believe me, there are going to be some tough days or difficult days ahead. There may be some good days. We pray we have better days, more better days than worse days. Either way, we continue with God. Number three, notice the place that she's going. It says here in the book of Ruth, chapter 1, verse 16 says, Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee. So that's her persistence. And then she said, I will go. She said, or for following after thee, whether thou goest, I will go. That's the path. And then number three, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Notice her place, where she's going. First, notice the conditions. Here's some conditions here. No, I want you to notice, Ruth did not demand a nice house. She didn't say, Naomi, let's go. We're going to build ourselves a mansion. She didn't demand anything more than what I guess you could expect. So she didn't demand a nice house. She didn't demand property. She did not expect these things. And folks, I believe she understood that she was going to have to live a what we would call a simple life, a modest life. Times were different then than they are now. You know, we find that Naomi had no husband and she had no sons. Ruth was going with her. The culture was different. Women that were in situations like this, it wasn't like they had the ability to go out and make a good living. They just had to deal with their situation. So Ruth, I don't believe, expected anything, any great blessings or any great things from the world. Now, let me clarify this. There's nothing wrong with a nice house. If you got a nice house, doesn't mean you're doing something bad. There's nothing wrong with a nice house. There's nothing wrong with owning property. We just have to remember, those things don't produce true joy in the heart. They're materials. They're part of the world. And we can have them. Let's use them for God's glory and give thanks for God for what we have. Let's not put our hopes in those things. Let's not put our desires after those things. Let's live for God. Let's seek after the Lord. And we find here that Ruth basically would live wherever Naomi lived. Ruth said, I'll live there. You talk about humility, submission. She doesn't even know where she's going. But she says, when we get there, wherever you live, I'll stay there with you. We'll stay together. I'm fine with that. I'm fine with going there because that's where I belong and that's where I need to be. Those were the conditions. That she didn't put any conditions out there. And number two on the place, I think it's safe to say that she was not seeking comfort or convenience. You know, many people make their decisions in life based upon those two factors. Comfort and convenience. Comfort, does it make me feel good? Convenience, is it easy for me to do? Now, there's nothing wrong with having comfort in life. There's nothing wrong with convenience. I think we're blessed. I know we're blessed in our country. We go down the street, go to the store, pick up what we need. Sometimes, for some of you, maybe within just a few minutes. That's a blessing. There's nothing wrong with that. It's a blessing. But I think it's important not to make our decisions for the Lord based upon those two things, comfort and convenience. I think that type of commitment is short-lived because life's not always going to be comfortable. Serving the Lord is not always going to be convenient. There may be times we have to sacrifice some things so we can honor God. Let me just give you an example. I think we should read the Bible. I think a healthy, strong church is a church of people who read and study the Bible. And I challenge you and encourage you as a pastor to read the Bible, know God's Word. That God's Word is not only the truth to the lost as far as salvation, but it's truth to believers on how we're to walk with God and live for the Lord. But I also know to read and study the Bible takes time and effort. And if you have a busy schedule, you only have 24 hours in a day. Some of those hours you got to sleep, or it's nice to sleep if you can. And then you have work, you have family, you have other things. And so things become tight sometimes in the schedule. There may be times you may have to sacrifice something in order to spend time with God. You may have to sacrifice a little bit of sleep, get up a little bit early, so that way you can talk to God in prayer before you start your day. Or you can read His Word and be encouraged as you go throughout your day. You may have to sacrifice a little sleep. You may have to sacrifice time in other areas so that way you can make sure you're honoring God and you're seeking after the Lord. You know what that takes? Commitment. That's what it takes. We got to make a commitment that we're going to seek after God, that we're going to look to God, and that we're going to live for the Lord. Whether it's comfortable or whether it's convenient or not, we're going to seek after the Lord. I like to think of John Bunyan here. John Bunyan was the author of The Pilgrim's Progress and many other books, but The Pilgrim's Progress seems to be the one that most people know him for. Author of Pilgrim's Progress, he was more effective in prison than he was outside of prison, which is always interesting. John Bunyan was a pastor for many years, and he was told that he needed a license to preach the gospel. Well, that didn't sit well. He just continued to preach the gospel. And eventually they put him in prison. While he was in prison is where he wrote many of his books and his writings that are still with us today, that have affected many and encouraged many Christians as we live for the Lord. And I've always thought it was interesting that God would use his time in prison to be more effective than perhaps we would say his time outside the prison. You see, he was committed to God no matter the situation. He was committed to God when he was free and he was preaching. He was committed to God when he was persecuted and put in prison. The circumstances did not determine his commitment. That's the challenge for us this morning. Don't allow the circumstances in our life to determine our commitment to God. Let's make sure that we have dedication and a desire after the Lord no matter what's going on around us. That we are faithful to God and that we seek after Him. I believe Ruth was that way. I believe to her it didn't matter where she was going to stay because she was going anyway. She was committed unto the Lord. So commitment requires you to endure all things for God. Sometimes life will be great. Sometimes you may run into some troubles. But commitment, when we make a commitment, can help us to endure those difficult times. Number four, let's look at the people here. We got two more thoughts I want to share with you. Notice it says here in verse 16, she said, "Entreat me not to leave." And then she says, "Whether thou goest, I will go." And then she said, "Where thou lodgest, I will lodge." That's her place. So we've talked about her persistence. We've talked about the path she's going. We've talked about the place that she's going to. Now let's talk about the people. She says here in verse 16, "I will lodge." And then she says, "Thy people shall be my people." Now that's interesting. Thy people shall be my people. First off, let's talk about association. Ruth chose to be with Naomi's people. I remember as a pastor, when I first got into the ministry, for a while there I worked with the youth, teenagers. And I enjoyed it. It was a blessing. You know, a common challenge, obviously, to teenagers is be careful who you associate with. Choose your friends wisely. There's a lot of people you may not want to associate with. Doesn't mean that you're against anybody. You just be careful who you choose to associate with. Just by association, you can hinder your testimony or taint your testimony. Well, you know, I think as we get older, it remains the same. Even though we're adults, we still have to be careful of our associations. Make sure that we are, I believe, associated with the correct people. Now, Ruth here, she says, as far as her association, she wanted to be known as an Israelite. She was leaving Moab. Keep this in mind. She's leaving her country. She's going to Israel. She didn't want to just come here and be what we would call a person from Moab living amongst the Israelites. She wanted to be part of God's people. She wanted to be with them. She wanted to associate with them. So that way she not only would live in Israel, but she would live with God's people. I think as Christians, we should have a desire to associate with God's people. I always find it a blessing, whether it's around town or traveling, when I run into fellow Christians. And I don't have to even know them longer than 5 minutes. You meet someone who's saved, who's born again, who loves the Lord, and all of a sudden, it doesn't matter what's going on, doesn't matter your careers, doesn't matter what direction each of you are going, you all of a sudden have something in common that you can fellowship over and encourage each other with. It's a blessing to run into fellow believers. And I think we should, whenever we can, associate with other believers. Choose our friends wisely. Make sure we are associating with those people that love God. Another thought on this is, when you associate with other believers, now of course, nobody's perfect. Now, you're going to run into believers who make mistakes, or who might be stubborn, or who be hypocrites, and that's just part of life in general. But for the most part, when you associate with other believers, you are encouraged by other believers. When you fellowship with them, you being around other believers can encourage you as you serve the Lord. Because you're going through the same world. You're dealing with the same temptations. Sin is the same for all of us. We can encourage each other as believers. So we find Ruth there wanted to associate with God's people. She said there, and she made it clear that Naomi's people would be her people. And that leads to my second thought on this, and that's her affection for God's people. Her affection for God's people. You see, she wanted to be with them and amongst them. You know, I think of families. I thank the Lord for my family. I got two brothers. And believe me, we don't always see eye to eye. There have been some times we really didn't see eye to eye. But you know what? I love them. And if I ever need anything and I can help them, I definitely would be there for them. It's family. There's an affection there. You love them and you care for them and you want to help them. I think the same can go into God's family. All right? We should love one another. John talks about this in the books of 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John, about the love of the believers for others. Not only should we have a love for one another, but it should be seen in our life. And by the way, that's the evidence of salvation, that we have a love one for another. Not just a passing interest, but a love one for another. That means when a believer is hurt, you know what? We hurt with them. You know someone that is going through a difficult time? They love the Lord, but they're just struggling. You know what? You hurt with them. Even if you can't do anything to help them, you're burdened for them and you pray for them. And then there might be times you can help somebody, another believer, and you see them struggling, or they're having a difficult time, and you say, you know what, let's just go to lunch. Let me encourage you this afternoon. Let me help you out with this if I can. You're there for them because you care for them. You love them. You know, there are many ways that we can display our love one for another. Notice here, Ruth, she was making a commitment to be part of God's family, part of God's nation, part of God's people. I think as Christians, we should associate with God's people, and we should love one another. Love one another. You know, some people claim to be a Christian, yet they associate with the world more than they do the church. I've seen that. I've seen some who claim to be Christian. I'm not so sure. If I had to base everything upon where they went and what they did, I wouldn't be so certain of that, because guess what? You never see them with God's people. They're with the world all the time. Let's make sure that we are associating with God's people. Some claim to be Christians, and guess what? They have more love for the world than they do for God's people or the church or for the things of God. And we need to make sure that it's the other way around. that it's known that we love God and His people. You know, here's what it comes down to, I think. Let me just give it to you this way. Being a Christian is more than wearing a t-shirt that says I'm a Christian. Okay? Now, I'm not against t-shirts that say that. That's fine. I think it's good. But being a Christian means you belong to God. And if you're going to be a faithful Christian, it means you're going to live unto the Lord. Whether you have a t-shirt that says I'm a Christian or not, you're going to live unto God. You're going to be faithful. And others are going to see it in the way you live. Ruth here, you know what would become clear for all of her family? It would become clear that Ruth belonged to God. Because she was going to live with God's people and in God's nation. They would know that she had been changed. She had a commitment unto the Lord. You know, commitment requires you sometimes, I guess you say, to make some tough decisions, but it requires you to be where God's people are and where God would want you to be. Number five, and this is the last one. Notice her priority. It says here at the end of verse 16, I will lodge, she says, thy people shall be my people. And then finally she says, thy God shall be my God. This is the priority here in her life. Naomi's God would be her God. First, the recognition. And then the relationship I want to talk about. These two thoughts. First, the recognition. Notice what she said to Naomi. Thy God will be my God. Evidently, Naomi had a good testimony of God. And I always find this interesting because Naomi had a difficult time in life. Think about it for a moment. This lady had been moved from her home to Moab because of the difficult times. And by the way, I don't know if it was right for her to go or for her husband to lead her that way. Most believe it was not, that they had fled the area is what happened. They came back to troubles, but they had fled during difficult times. But she remained faithful is what happened. And so she went to Moab, and there in Moab her husband died, and then her two sons died. And you know what? She had a difficult time. But evidently, Naomi never turned against the Lord. She never rejected God. She never blamed the Lord. The Bible tells us that, yes, she may have struggled a bit, but she eventually went back to God's people where she would serve the Lord. I think Ruth noticed Naomi's conduct during this time. And that encouraged her because Naomi loved her God and Naomi would serve her God. You know, sometimes the best testimony you can have in this world is just a testimony of loving God through thick and thin. No matter what happens, your co-workers, your friends, your family, they see that you love God. You may not have time to share with them your testimony of salvation, but they say, I know they love God because they're faithful to God. They remain with the Lord. And that's what we find with Naomi. So here's my thought for you here this morning. If you're saved, which I hope and pray everyone here is saved, do others see Christ in you? Think about that for a moment. Do others see Jesus Christ in the way that you live? Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Peter. I got two verses, two passages I want to share with you. And these were both written by apostles. 1 Peter. And we'll look here at chapter 2 and verse 21. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. He says here, For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow His steps. You know, Christ left an example for each of us to follow after Him. You know, we're to be like Christ is what the Bible teaches. We're to be Christ-like in all of our conduct and all of our conversation. We're to be like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then if you turn over with me to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. And it says here in verse 5. 1 John 2 verse 5 says, But whoso keepeth His word in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also so to walk, even as He walked. In other words, if you say you're a Christian, you should live like Christ. That's what the Bible teaches. If you say you belong to Christ, it should be evident in the way you live. In other words, as Christians, we should be like Christ, and I think the world should see that. So that's the challenge for each of us here this morning, if you're saved. Are we living like Christ? Does the world see Christ in us? Now, let's make this a little more practical. How about at all times and in all circumstances? You know, for a while there was a... I think it turned into a big fad, but I think the beginning of it had a good premise. You know, what would Jesus do? the WWJD might not be as popular today as it was, you know, 10 years ago or so. It ended up all over. T-shirts, hats, bracelets, you name it, that was everywhere. You know, I think it became a fad, but I do think the premise is good as far as the teaching there. It is good to consider how Christ would act, how He would live, and then follow His pattern. Live like Christ would live. How about we live like Christ would live when we're walking through this world? Whether you're walking through the store, whether you're walking around town, whether you're walking at work, whether you're walking just down the park. How about we be like Christ? How about when we're working? You're at work. Now, this is where it can become difficult because sometimes at work we can be tested. We need to not only act like Christ, but respond how Christ would respond. When we are tested by others, or we are tempted to sin, we need to act like Christ. How about when we're relaxing at home? We live like Christ. See, that's what the Bible tells us there. We're to be like Christ. If we apply that teaching, that would help us with our commitment to God. We would look to live correctly at all times, and we would do what was right because we'd be living like Christ. Now, I'm going to give you one more. This one gets me. How about driving? As a Christian, sometimes I'm tempted to act unchristlike when I'm driving. But we have to act like Christ at all times. It's difficult at times, but we must be Christ-like, a testimony. Even if that person never sees you or knows who you are, they might, by the way, you just never know. But even if they don't, the Lord does. We must be like Christ at all times in our life. And that's what we find as far as the priority. I think Ruth recognized that Naomi loved the Lord, and that's what drew Ruth to God. Because notice this last response here. We're talking about priority, the recognition. Ruth said here, "Thy God will be my God." And that's the last thought I'll give to you. Ruth developed a relationship with God. Not only did she say, "I'm going to go and I'll live in the land where your God is," but He's my God as well now. Not just your God, but my God. This was the most important part, I think, of Ruth's commitment. We find here that Ruth forsook her religion, is what she forsook. Moab, we know Moab, was a place of idolatry. They had idols and they worshipped false gods. So in this statement, basically, Ruth is saying, "I am forsaking my idolatry. I am forsaking those false gods, and I am going to worship the one and true God. I am going to worship the God of Israel." In the Old Testament, we find God Jehovah. I am going to worship Him. And that's her commitment. We find here that she no longer desired her idols. She no longer lived unto her idols. Instead, she looked to God and she walked with the Lord. Faith. She put her faith in God. You know, this morning, if you're saved, you're saved by grace and through faith. You're not saved by your works, because salvation is not in what we do. It's in what Christ has already done. You're saved by grace and through faith. It's because you have turned to God from whatever direction you were going. Okay? Maybe some were involved in idolatry. Maybe some were involved in just in nothing, really. But you turned to God. You repented of your sin. You put your faith in Jesus Christ, and this morning you are saved. I hope and pray you're saved. If you haven't, that can be settled this morning. Simply accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior, believing on Jesus Christ. Now, I think here, let me wrap this up. I believe this explains, this last point explains the first four, okay? Her priority was God. Now, let's think about the first one, her persistence. Why would she look at Naomi and say, "Naomi, don't need to say this to me anymore. I'm going." The reason why Ruth could say this is because she belonged to God. That's why she could say it. She could make a commitment to go because she loved God. And she wanted to live under the Lord. And number two, we talked about the path that she would follow. A path she did not know. Who knows the difficulties and the trials and troubles. But Ruth would follow God wherever He led. Because she belonged to God. See, that's what made the commitment easy. She belonged to the Lord. She loved God. Number three, we talked about the place that she would abide. She had no idea where they would live. Naomi may not have had a good idea where they were going to live. But it would be a simple, modest living. And Ruth had no problem with it because guess what? She belonged to God. And that's the direction God wanted her to go. So the commitment became easy. She was going to live under the Lord. Number four, the people Ruth would go and become part of a different nation, a different group of people, and guess what? She had no problem with it because she belonged to God. See, that last one, pretty much, is the reason why she was able to make the decision on the first four. Commitment. You see, commitment to God requires you, I think, to honor God and glorify Him. You know, for each of us, if you're saved here this morning, once you make a commitment to God, you know, I don't think it's so much about, you know, a checklist, like, well, I got to do this or this or this. I really believe you, in your heart, you make a commitment to God. You just look to honor God in your life. You look to glorify God as you go throughout your day. You look to uplift God, exalt God, submit to God. God just is first in your life. And you live unto Him and for Him. And as you go through your day, God guides and God directs and God blesses. You see, it's a relationship with God. We find that here with Ruth. It wasn't a, well, I got to do this, 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 this. It was a, I'm going to live unto God and go the direction God wants me. So this morning, I hope and pray that you have, first off, of course, made the decision to put your faith in God through Jesus Christ and be saved. And then afterwards, if you are saved as a Christian, I encourage you to make a commitment to God. Determine you're going to live unto God. No matter what's going on around you, you are going to live unto the Lord. I'm going to give you an illustration to end our service that I hope will pray will encourage you and it will really bring the thought home at the end here. George Mueller. George Mueller was a pastor for many years in England, also started many orphanages. He was a man of great dedication and great prayer. Well, someone once asked him, a young man asked him, what the secret of his service was, the secret to his service and his success. And here was his response to this young man. He says, young man, he said, there was a day when I died. I utterly died. I died to George Mueller. I died to my opinions, my preferences, my tastes, and my will. And then I died to the world. I died to the approval of the world. I died, he says, to the approval or the blame of my brethren and my friends. And since then, I have desired to show myself approved unto God. I believe Ruth reached that point. It didn't matter what anyone else thought. It didn't matter what was going on around her or what would take place in front of her. All that mattered to her was living unto the Lord.